The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Sure enough, the ref was over. What's your name? And him talking to me for all match the ref. He's captain for Trouser, he's chatting to me. I'm loving the Paddy set. Paddy Andrews,
red card.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Every single game live here on Off the Ball, including this Saturday's final warm-up against the Stormers from 5 o'clock. Our build-up begins at 4. Sean Cronin is going to be alongside Neil Tracy. And then, every Saturday after that, the three test matches, Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan, part of our commentary team. And we are well ready for it now after watching last night's game against South Africa. A, the Lions beaten for the first time on this tour, 17-13. Tommy Bowe, a two-time Lion, is with us. Evening, Tommy.
Evening to you, Nathan. You scared me there when you mentioned Sean Cronin. I thought there was some new breaking news within the Lions setup.
I'd be a bit worried as well if he's getting called up. We'd have no co-commentator. We'd have no co-commentator if he gets the call up now.
Listen, you just don't know at the minute. Anybody's up for a call-up. You might be a call-up. Maybe me.
You take the call as well. Would you take the call, Tommy? We were saying this with Brian O'Driscoll last week. There's so much going on in South Africa off the pitch. You know, you'd wonder what the mentality of the players were at home. If you get the call, are you automatically taking it regardless of everything that's going on?
Is this me?
Not you. You 7-8 years ago, Tommy.
Yeah, because whenever I saw the physicality of those South Africans yesterday, I was glad I will never be getting a call like that again. But certainly from a player's point of view, yeah, this is the dream. It comes around once in every 4 years. This is kind of like a rugby player's Olympics. You know, this is why it is so special. Playing for your country, there's 10 opportunities a season, but this is special. And yes, there's no fans. Yes, there's maybe this is a bit of a messy old tour, but the opportunity to put on that red jersey, you'd be there in a heartbeat.
Was there any sense before last night's game that the Lions could have been lulled into a false sense of security because of how easy the warm-up games have been? That as beneficial to South Africa as last night was in getting that run out and a proper match for the first time at international level for a lot of them in probably since the World Cup, but also for the Lions, now they know what they're going to face and you can multiply it several times on Saturday week in the first test.
100%. I don't think even the South Africans could have expected the tempo that they came out of the blocks. Their first game in 20 months, or second game in 20 months, the fact that they've been doing Zoom training sessions, been stuck in bubbles, stuck in their hotel rooms having to train, I mean, it really was remarkable. It shows the power of Razzie Erasmus, how he is able to bring out the best of this South African group. But from the Lions' point of view, I think Warren Gatland will take a lot of heart from, you remember back to 2009, I was on that pitch. I thought going into that first test, we were well warmed up. We were ready to go. And that first 10 or 20 minutes, I have never felt anything like it. The intensity of the crowd, I think that was something that's going to be missed. There's no doubt about it. That's what the Lions is all about. And that's my real memories from those tours in the past is the crowds going into Durban or going into Pretoria. But certainly the 10 minutes from the South Africans, they just burst out of the blocks and caught us. You know, it took us the first half really to get ourselves back into it again. And that was exactly what we saw yesterday. I think the A team, they came out of the blocks, and I think the Lions will be ready for it next Saturday.
The fact that the South Africans put out so many first teamers last night, do you think Gatland was also holding something back, particularly in the back line, where you think of the period before halftime and after halftime when they're camped on the South African line, yet still they kept repeating the same play instead of trying something different? You were waiting for that back line to come alive, but they just seemed to, it felt as though they were holding something in reserve. Is that how you would have looked at it?
That's what I'm hoping, Nathan. I really am hoping, because you saw the line speed. Like, Conor Murray and Owen Farrell, they just kept box kicking. They kept kicking long, straight down Nkosi and Chesson Colby's throats. I mean, that is exactly what they want. You have to think that going into that first test, they're just luring them in, because what I was really surprised by how fast Nkosi came up in defence and Colby. They shot up, and we knew that was coming with Willie Larue closing the gate really early, and the Lions never once put the ball in behind them to make that blindside winger chase across or Faf de Klerk chase across and have a strong defensive and try and tackle them into touch. So I think there were a lot of plays that the Lions didn't want to. They didn't want to show their full hand.
Is that something you would have done yesterday? Is that something on your Lions tours that would have happened on a regular basis?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that when Rob Howley was our coach within the Lions setup, he was always trying to hold stuff back and show little wrinkles. And same with every coaches. Joe Schmidt was a master for it as well. Show one thing, do something different the following week. And I would imagine there's a huge amount being kept in reserve for that first test, because when they saw the team that was announced, we know what South Africa are going to bring. They're not trying to hide anything. If they can front up, if the Lions can reach parity with them physically, the Lions will have a great chance. But trying to reach parity physicality wise with those boys, they are just monsters.
Conor Murray's received a bit of stick today following on from his performance, most of it from the British
Stephen
media, from Stephen Jones and the British media.
But
Keith Wood was saying that he was a bit below par as well, that he was slowing the game down too much. Again, do you think was that part of the Lions' game plan, or how much of that is actually down to the forwards, as you say, just being destroyed by the physicality of the South Africans?
I don't know if I want to say this, but it felt a little bit like Munster again up against Leinster, going back to the box kicks, slowing it down again, when really if the Lions want to beat South Africa, they are going to have to play with tempo. So I would like to hope that this is all part of the plan. Conor Murray was slowing it down.
So is that not a genuine concern then? Because as you say, Munster against Leinster, maybe Ireland at times when things aren't going well, that actually when Murray is under pressure, he automatically slows it down, and that against the South Africans, he just can't do that.
When he's behind a pack that is getting absolutely demolished, the Lions pack were being destroyed in that first half. He was having to dig the ball out. He was trying to slow things out. You saw him screaming at the players, trying to get them to go around the corner. The players were blowing. They felt the physicality. And I think that's something Conor Murray, he's not going to be happy about. But you would think going into the first test, Warren Gatland is going to shove a rocket up a lot of those guys going into that first test. The breakdown wasn't good enough. The physicality wasn't good enough in that first half. You would imagine in that first test, I think Conor Murray will start. Stephen Jones is saying that Ali Price should be starting. There's not a chance in my mind that Ali Price is a better scrum half than Conor Murray. But at the same time, it has to be said, Conor Murray, he's not the Conor Murray that we had 4 years ago at the last Lions series. You compare him to what you see with Faf de Klerk. Faf de Klerk he's just on a different level at the minute.
Is Owen Farrell the Owen Farrell of 4 years ago?
Well, obviously not. He hasn't played much top level rugby this season. I think that he's still trying to find his form, which is surprising, I thought. Again, though, a couple of his decisions were really questionable. That crossfield kick, I just kind of think that potentially they were holding things back. I don't think he ever wants to be charged down, of course not. But he
does that create a level of confusion?
Yeah, I was puzzled watching that first half. I really was. I thought that the Lions knew what they were going in to face. Mauro Togiai talked about it after. He said, when you take off on the South Africans, you know what you're going to get. It seemed like they turned up to a gunfight with a knife, if that's the saying. They weren't at the races in that first 20, 30 minutes. And there's a lot of questions to be asked. And there'll be a lot of people would be concerned going into the selection of the team at the start of next week, because you would have thought the likes of Conor Murray and a couple of those guys would have felt fairly secure in the position. But it's not looking like that at the minute.
Who would you prefer to play outside, Bigger or Farrell?
I would be happy to play outside the two of them at a 10 and 12. That's right. The way I would like to be. I played with Dan Bigger for a number of years with the Ospreys, always really enjoyed him. I think they're two very similar players, really confrontational, really, they're in very much in the mould of Johnny Sexton. So I don't think there's a huge amount between them. I just think, given the line speed that the Lions are going to come up against with this South Africa, I would love to see a ball player at 12. I don't think Bundy Aki really was able to deal with the muscle and to get them that go forward that they needed. And you're going to need an extra set of hands there. That's the way I see it. But whether Farrell has played himself out of contention, I don't know. And this is the other thing which is really interesting with the selection for the team on Saturday, is Robbie Henshaw has been named at 12 and not 13, because if you thought that he was still half considering a Bigger at 10, Farrell at 12, you would have thought Robbie Henshaw would have been 13. So at the minute, I actually really am puzzled by it. I don't know who's going to play 12. 13.
You does know, that raise it, the possibility Henshaw plays 12 and Elliot Daly plays 13 in the test?
Is that the way they're going to look like? Daly is definitely, there's a lot of people saying that they believe his best position is at 13. Maybe if they go well this weekend, but they're going to be against a Stormer side. It's going to be a real level down at this, of the performance that we saw on Wednesday. It's a tough one. And I think the fact that Dan Biggar has picked up that injury has really thrown a spanner in the works.
Coaches always say they like selection headaches. They like to have
options. I don't know.
Is this the wrong type of selection headache where you're going into a first test and a lot of these, like, there's a good possibility even the back line may have never all played on the same pitch at the same time together?
Well, would you say, Nathan, you would love a selection headache where people aren't really putting their hands up? Because in my mind, I don't believe that. Like, you look at that game yesterday, there was nobody from the Lions' point of view really put their hand up. Nobody really took it by the scruff of the neck and tried to roll up their sleeves. Yes, Amaro Atosha played well. I think Curry went quite well. Anthony Watson went okay till he got injured. That's another concern, him going off injury. Liam Williams, another concern. There's a lot of concerns going into this first test. I think back to 2009, I think it was the second or third match. I think it was against the Lions, the South African Lions. We, six of the starting backline from the first test played in that match. So you obviously had a fair idea that Ian McGeoghegan and Warren Gatland had an idea what sort of backline they wanted to go with early on in the tour. We haven't seen that since.
So for Henshaw this Saturday, like, we came into this series feeling he was almost nailed on to start. Yeah. Do you feel he actually has work to do, or does the fact that maybe nobody else has cemented the position mean there's a relatively straightforward opportunity for him here?
Oh, he's a fantastic opportunity. Warren Gatland has given him every opportunity to get himself back fit because he knows how important he is. So he was the form player in the Six Nations this year. He would have definitely been a nailed-on starter going into this tour. And I think that he is still fairly confident of his position if he can come out of the blocks well on Saturday. But again, I thought he would have been playing 13. I really did. So interesting to see him at 12 with Daly at 13. This could be the combination that they're trying to see for the following Saturday.
Alwyn Jones is back, miraculously. With the squad. Let's hear
were
from Warren
Gatland. Were you even
surprised? Well, once they said there was a possibility, you always knew he was going to make it. Warren Gatland was talking about the fact that Alwyn Jones is back and is back among the replacements for this weekend's game. Here's what he had to say.
No, he's not fit. That's why we selected him. look, we wanted him to... we feel if he's going to put himself in contention, he needs 20 minutes. So we've had that conversation with him about, you know, I know he's travelled and has arrived today, but, you know, if he's in contention for next week, he needs to have a run. And so we need a hit out for him. So that was why, you know, we wanted him to have that. And then for a few other players, they've been doubling up a bit, so they get an opportunity to rest and freshen up.
They're putting it on a par with Tommy Bowles' recovery from that broken hand in 2013.
Ah, no, can't go that far.
like, is this straightforward, do you think, from Alwyn Jones? Just prove your fitness and put him straight back in the team? Or is there more time needed? Is this a second, third test option? Or is he just so versatile, just so experienced that actually you can trust if the injury is okay, you can throw him straight in there?
I think he's very important to the team, particularly in terms of his leadership. And of course, just the aura of him back in the squad. You could just see the players were very excited to see him back and back in contention again. Whether, you know, he's just dislocated his shoulder, what, 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. Whether, you saw the physicality of Mostart and Etzebeth yesterday. Alwyn Jones with Warren Gatland says he's fit, but really if he gets put into a really tricky position with those two guys, you would have to question it. But obviously they've flown him out there, the physios have 100% backed him, and Alwyn Jones, he's the most capped international player of all time. He's played for the Ospreys so many times. He knows how to front up, he knows how to do it, and he puts it in training as well. So I would 100% back him, but I don't know whether going into the physicality that we saw from that South Africa A team yesterday. You know, even Ian Henderson, who I thought was going so well, he took a step backwards yesterday too. So it's all up for grabs. If Alan Wynn comes on for 20 minutes, yes, Warren Gatland says he's up for contention, but I think it's a big push to get him in for that first test.
You have a lot of experience of being alongside Alan Wynn-Jones in a dressing room. Just how totemic a figure is he compared to some of the other big figures you've played with throughout your career?
Listen, he's not the best, you know, he's not like a Paul O'Connell in terms of delivering big passionate speeches. He's very, very passionate guy, but he leads 100% by example. Whenever he comes off, if you watch him getting taken off off the pitch as a sub, he sprints off to the pitch even though he is hanging together. He leaves nothing on the pitch. You know what they say to you? Leave nothing on the pitch. Look at yourself in the mirror. Leave everything out there. Alan Wynn-Jones is the epitome of that. So I think that in terms of just when he comes back into training, he will lift the standards massively. And that's something that he does from a leadership point of view.
Adam Beard came in for Alan Wynn-Jones when initially he was ruled out injured. You mentioned Ian Henderson. Beard's performance when he came on yesterday, does that even heap further pressure on Henderson? Are you looking at Henderson thinking maybe he's one of the losers from last night, going to struggle to make that first test team?
I think that the fact that he came off and Beard went very well, disrupted a lot of lineouts, was good around the park. I think a lot of people would have questioned whether Beard is really going to push himself into that test spot. But that's what it's about. In those big games, you have to put your hand up. And he was one of the few players who did that. So for Ian Henderson, does he have enough credit in the bank? Has he done enough in training? That would be interesting to see. I personally think that he has that physicality that a lot of the other second rows don't have. And him and Itoje, I think, are the best combination going into a first test.
I think it's clear you feel there's a huge amount of question marks over that first 15 for the first test.
I really do, yeah.
Bob has been in touch on YouTube. Just give us your back three for the first test, Tommy.
Okay, Bob. I'm going to go for Conor Murray. Well, I don't know how fit Dan Biggar is. I would go Dan Biggar, but is he going to be fit for that first test? So I'll go for Dan Biggar, hoping that he is fit. I'm going to go for Henshaw and Daly, it looks like now. Is Watson going to be fit? Is Liam Williams going to be? I mean, this is thrown right up in
the
air.
Come on.
I'd love to.
I'll ask you a simple question, Tommy.
Well, is everybody
get
fit?
Get off the fence. Everybody's fit. Everybody's fit.
Okay, great. Okay, I'm going to go Murray, Biggar, Henshaw, Daly, Watson, Williams and Hogg.
Okay.
There you go.
You put it's such a positive spin on everything, Tommy, but I do still get the sense you think there's a real possibility that South Africans are going to win this series 3-0.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so.
No?
No, no, no. I think, listen, the South Africans, Razzie said that they have a lot of guys still to come back, particularly from the front row. You see Bongi Mbanambi, he's the hooker, who's a serious player. Talking to BJ Botha, he is a serious operator. So he will come back in and really bolster that front row, and Mal Herba as well. So they will have a lot more firepower in that that scrum. But I just think that the Lions were definitely holding something back last week. You just have to think that the way they know South Africa are going to defend against them, they will put the ball in behind them. They will mix it up a bit. They'll try to get them to that outside channel, and they won't just kick it down Colby's throat like we saw yesterday.
I just want to hear you say his name again. Repeat it, Bongi.
Bongi Mbanambi.
Oh,
that's from
beautiful.
That's what
that's
working on a World Cup a few years ago was.
That is a beautiful pronunciation, Tommy.
Kenki Mutsushima. Yeah, of all this, the Japanese, the South Africans, spent me a long time working on those guys' names.
Tommy, great stuff as always. Pleasure to chat to you. Enjoy Saturday's
Nathan.
Game. It is live here on Off the Ball once again. The Lions against the Stormers. Neil Tracy's going to be alongside Sean Cronin in the commentary box. Hopefully not out on the pitch for our sake. And all our coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.